Good morning, everybody. I'm really happy to be here again after almost 1 year or 1.5 years that I was here last. And I'm glad that all of you are still intact, except my friend Jan. I was here on Tuesday in the Alvar Central to say goodbye to him. When I got the news from Chris through email, I was really touched. Honestly, I thought he could have managed for a longer period, but it didn't happen. And my joy is that Jan died in active duty. Till the last moment of his life, he believed God and he worshiped him. As far as I know him, his greatest strength I found was during the coronavirus. Jan was very strong in making sure that the coronavirus did not intimidate this church. And he succeeded, because the church was open to a point when the government officially said there will be no services. Outside that, he was following coronavirus, what we call bomber to bomber, not giving it any chance to disinterrupt or to interrupt what we're supposed to be doing in the presence of God. But whatever it is, he has gone, and we will also be gone in due time to see him again. So he's not totally lost, and he's not kidnapped. We thank God for his life, and also for the strength of his wife, who refused to be intimidated, who believed that this kingdom worth giving every time that she got and every minute that is left. You can see she's in the church today. We thank God for this church also, for being strong enough to bear the lost. Accept my condolences. Those that came on Tuesday, I knew I wouldn't be able to come for the service, so I came on Tuesday. And I also heard that so many people were here during the service. The church were over full. I wonder where they all are. They should come back. But we thank God for everything. Today we had a text that Jesus was explaining to us about the kingdom of God, or what we can literally call the kingdom of heaven. The first mention of the kingdom of God in the New Testament was done by John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus Christ. He was the person who started telling people in Israel, throughout Judea, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. And from the time of Malachi, which is the last prophecy of the Bible, to the time John appeared in the wilderness preaching was 400 years. There was a complete silence. There was no prophecy, nothing. God was silent for a long period of time. And when John showed up, many of the Pharisees thought maybe he's the Messiah they are expecting. But he said, no. He's not the Messiah. The Messiah will come. And he explained to them how. He will come with baptism of a different sort, not with water. But he was the person who introduced or who mentioned the idea that the kingdom of God is close at hand. And God sent Jesus Christ. One is first to die for our sins, which is the gap between us and God. The only is Isaiah said, the only difference between us and God is our sin. God's hand is not short that he cannot reach us, except that our sin has blocked us from getting closer to God. I remember I was invited in a Christian conference in Russia, women conference, and I was wondering what to tell them. I haven't been to St. Petersburg before, so I was wondering, let me get close to the microphone, because I think what I will tell them. I came there, they decorated the hall with all kinds of statements, and I saw one that changed the entire story. They said, when God seems too far, or when God seemed far away, who moved? So if you are standing with God, the way I am standing with this lectern, very close, and all of a sudden you realize that God is this far. And after a while you realize God is this far. And after a while you realize that God is as far as that guy standing there. And after a while you realize that God is as far as the parking slot from here. The question is, who is doing the moving? Is that you that is moving, or is it God? Thus, Jesus came to show us the kind of person God wants us to be, apart from dying for our sin. The kind of lifestyle God wants us to live. The kind of way he wants us to prepare for the kingdom of God. And then he gathered in the Matthew text where we read, people gathered around him, and he started telling them stories of different kind. And the disciples didn't understand some of these stories. And then they asked him in private, what does this thing mean? One of the stories or parables that led to the parable of the kingdom of God is the parable of the weeds. They told him a story of a farm where the owner planted corn, and in the night the devil went and plant wheat. And then after a few days, both the weed and the corn grew. And the owner was surprised and wanted to go and weed off those weeds that are not required, are not part of corn. And the Lord said, no, 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 no. The owner of the farm said to his messengers, no, 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 no. Let both of them grow. But in the end, there will be harvest. You see, the kingdom of God is the most important aspect of any life we are holding on earth. There is nobody here that will not die. The only thing that will not take us by surprise here on earth is death. Because everybody knew he will die or she will die. Everybody knew that. You cannot say you don't know. You cannot say how. No, all you don't know is when and how. But for certainty, one day we will die. If you want to take an insurance, maybe you want to insure an insurance policy, you will take an insurance for your car. You will take insurance for your house. But if you want to insure your life, you will not take an insurance. You will take what they call an assurance policy, not insurance. Because then nobody can insure your life. They can assure you that when you die, your family will get the money. Go there to them. Ask them, I want an insurance, life insurance policy. They say it doesn't exist. So the Jesus said in the first explanation of the parable, he said, the kingdom of God is like a mustard seed that was very tiny seed that was planted in a field. It grew up and became so big that birds and animals that fly, perches, and have shadow under him. Jesus is trying to explain the strength of the kingdom. There is nothing, the kingdom is unstoppable. During the time of Jesus, he made a statement after the death of John the Baptist that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. And violent people try to take it by force. And that continues to exist even to today. Make no mistake about it. There is nothing that can stop this kingdom. It doesn't matter what the world is throwing at it. It doesn't matter how the world is confusing everybody about it. It doesn't matter the shadow of frustration and fake images that are trying to portray itself otherwise. Nothing can stop the kingdom of God from reaching its goal. It is unstoppable. And that stresses the importance of the kingdom of heaven, because we come to the word of God. We come to God's house to hear his word. We have his Bible. We have everything that we need to do. He can even reveal himself to us through dreams. We have everything to believe that this kingdom is real. And then he told us again about this kingdom like a yeast. A small yeast that is put in the bread, how it grows. You know, that reminds me, I tried to make bread once, and I will never do that again. When I was in school, I hear a fresh bread. So most of our students are from Bulgaria and the Romania area at that time. And these people are very good in cooking baked food. So I decided, Daniel decided to bake bread. I went and bought some flour. And then I bought yeast. I asked them, how is it made? I bought flour, mixed it, put egg, put sugar. And then they asked me to, you add some yeast and you put it in the fridge and leave it for a while before you start cutting it and putting it in the oven or baking it as olive oil or whatever you want to eat it with. So I was delighted. I want to make it special. I didn't know the quantity of yeast that I added in the flour. So I put it in the fridge. When I wanted to open the fridge after 1.5 hours, I was struggling to open the fridge with the flour. The whole fridge was... I said, what is going on? What happened? The bread was very busy covering every part of my fridge. Everything. I said, hey, Alex, come. I don't know what is going on. From floor to floor, everywhere was covered with those things I mixed. He asked me, well, I said, what happened? He said, what quantity of yeast did you add? I said, should I measure it by quantity? He said, the yeast is doing this. And so, the force of the kingdom of God is like that. It doesn't matter what you do, you can't stop it. If you don't believe, so many empires have tried to close church. So many have tried to end the church will not be had again, but it didn't work. And then, he told us another parable of somebody who discovered a pearl. And he went and sell everything he has to come and buy the plot of land where it is. That gives us again the value. You see, why was that pearl hidden? Is it hidden that nobody else will find it? You see, walking to go to the kingdom of God is not something that will not cost you. It's as simple as that. Salvation is free in the sense that there is no amount of work we put in that can qualify us to go to heaven. But if you truly want to get to heaven, it will cost you your time. You must put in a good number of your time in the work of that kingdom. This man has, it will cost you some energy. It will cost you some energy. Many of us here could have been lying on bed, cross our leg with a remote control, checking Geography Channel and whatever sports that is going on. But we left them all to come here today because of the kingdom of God. We are interested in this kingdom. That is that you sacrifice your time. Those who come here by public transport, they know how much they paid the bus driver. Those who came here by car, they know how much a 1 liter of benzene cost. Because this kingdom comes with sacrifice. When I came in here, I saw these young men and these young ladies practicing songs to sing. They were not trying to make CD that they will sell. No. They are contributing to the work of that kingdom. And that is where the reward is. The value, there is nothing you have on earth. There is nothing you can compare the value to the kingdom of God. And if you live on this earth without getting ready to get to the, without making yourself prepared and ready to go to this kingdom, you have lived for nothing. You have lived for nothing. If you see my complimentary card, there is something I wrote behind it. I said, when you don't seek to know your Creator, you don't live. Many have existed without living at all. The moment you flap out back my complimentary card, you see this statement. When you don't seek to know your Creator, you don't live. And so many people have existed, but without living at all. The kingdom of God is not free in the sense that you don't do anything. You want to read the Bible. You're going to wake up to pray. You're going to confess Jesus. There are certain things you have to say. If not because of this, I would have liked to do this. But because of this kingdom, I have abandoned that. I would have liked to be a member of this club. I used to go to this cafe. And I know what we do in the cafe. But since I gave my life to Christ, because of this kingdom, I don't do that anymore. And these are the sacrifice, the value that you must give yourself. When I was a child, in Bible, I attended nursery school from Sunday school. They put me to church very young. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. It is a great change since I joined the Lord. The places I used to go, I go them no more. The friends I used to keep, I keep them no more. The things I used to do, I do them no more. It is a great change since I joined the Lord. Oh, great change. Great change since I joined the Lord. Great change since I joined the Lord. Great change since I joined the Lord. It is a great change since I joined the Lord. Are you not going to clap for me? These are the songs they use to keep us in the church. Because like I told you people before, when I was young, I go to church for my mother, not for myself. Just to please her. And it is her faith that has brought me so far. So there are sacrifices. And that's what the Bible is stressing. The point that I want to take, and I take it very serious, is the last point that Jesus made. That the kingdom of heaven is like a net thrown into the sea to catch some fish. And at the end of the day, that net drew a lot of living organisms from the sea. And then the master himself sat down and started selecting. Listen, these are already people that are gathered inside the net. But still, there was a selection that was done. And he selected some and threw them inside the ship, and selected some and threw them back into the water. That calls for standard. Honestly speaking, God cannot lower his standard to accommodate any of our sin. That standard of God remains standard. There is grace. There is mercy. There is infinite love. But the standard of God cannot reduce an inch. The people that, what happened? That those that were already gathered inside this kingdom, by this net collected, some were thrown back. Some were rejected. This is where you have to think very hard. And this is where nobody can help you, except by you hearing the word of God, accepting it, and making some adjustment in your life. They are already collected. You know, it reminds me of a story, the story of the 10 virgins. These 10 virgins, they came for a banquet, wedding banquet. And you see, when everybody arrived, it seems as if everybody is ready. Everybody looks ready. Everybody looks prepared to welcome the bridegroom. To welcome the bride and both of them. And then something started happening. The bridegroom started delaying in coming. And that's when we realized that some people are less ready than the others. If the owner, the master, has come 1 hour after the guests had arrived, everybody would have walked in, the whole 10 virgins. Nobody would have realized the discrepancy. But then the authorities started, the guests started delaying. And we realize some people are less ready. These are one of the things that I can bring as an analogy to this parable. I read the history of this country. In 19th century, Holland was 100% Christians. 100. They were so Christians that even on Sunday, you don't drive your car. They consider it as work. You walk to the church. If Jesus had come 100 years ago, the whole country would have walked in. And now, what percentage is it? It's not only Holland. The same thing in America. The same thing in Africa. The same thing in Asia. The same thing everywhere. The same thing in China. The worship of God is something that you will try to take to the standard of the word of God. You know, we usually say, follow your heart. Follow your heart is not in the Bible. What does the Bible say? Follow the word of God, not your heart. Believe in yourself. No. Believe in the word of God. Trust yourself. No, 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 no. Trust the word of God. Life is too short. No. Maintain the one that is given to you. I will tell you a little story. I think I've spoken for only 10 minutes. You know, listen, I haven't been here for some time. So allow me to stretch myself. You know, I want to tell you a story. I promise I will go after that. There was a man. This man was a drunkard. He messed up himself with alcohol. He urinates in his trousers. He sometimes sleeps on the street. He goes to cafe without any gauge. He drinks, and he was a mess. Everybody in the town know him as a mess, as a drunkard. But this man had two sons. He had two sons. These two sons grew up watching their father in that mess. Sometimes they open the door in the morning and their father is lying down there. That is the best. He will be completely drunk. He managed to get himself at the front of the house, and that's it. But he had two sons, and they grew up watching this man in this mess. One of the sons became like him. He also started drinking alcohol, excess. He became like his father. And the other son, when finished high school, went to university, started a very nice company, employed the people, become very responsible. And he grew up in the society, known by the state. And one day, one TV program presenter, invited this young man and his drunkard brother to the television for interview. So they asked the first son, which is the elder son, how come that you refuse to go to school, you spend time in the cafe, drinking beer, smoking marijuana, making yourself miserable, you are completely worth nothing? He said to the TV program presenter, I looked at my father and I became like him. They asked the younger son, how come that you are so responsible, very respected in the society, very useful? You command millions of euro. You have branches of your company everywhere. How come that you are so responsible and very dignified? The second son said, I looked at my father. One motivation, two different results. The first son said, I am useless because I looked at my father. The second son said, I am useful because I looked at my father. How do they look? I despise everything my father is. I despise everything my father has become. And I refuse to be any part of it. I saw everything that my father is. And I became like him. The Bible is like that. This Bible contains information about people who have done very well in trying to imitate God, and they made it. This Bible contains information of people who refuse to obey God. People like Sodom, Gomorrah, people like Nineveh, People like Solomon. You know, go to the Bible. Solomon, in all his wisdom, in all his wealth, how did he die? He died after he went to worship the idol of one of his wives. You will not hear procession about his burial. This Bible contains these two information about people who really desire this kingdom and wants to make it possible in their life. This book contains also the information about people who despise everything about God's kingdom and rejected it, and they doom their life. The same book. All these people that are criticizing God, all these atheists who tell you there is no God, blah, 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 they can quote the Bible to support their cases. You can't be a atheist without knowing the... I have been in a school. I had a professor who is over 40 years in the university teaching theology, but he didn't believe in God. His hair is completely bald. His glasses are like this. But he knew every aspect. You can study the Bible. The best thing about this Bible is that when you open it to prayerfully study it, the author will come. If you want to study this book prayerfully, the writer will come. Ask a question and wait. You will hear a voice within you explaining it to you. This is how to read the Bible spiritually. And that's why it's so small, but nobody knew everything in it. If you look at the books they use, the medical students use, or lawyers, law students use, or psychopedia, they call some of them, it's as big as this. But look at this one. For 2,000 years, we have been using this, the New Testament. The Old Testament is over a million. And still, it's still valid. Because each time you open it to read it prayerfully, the author will come and explain more, deeper. But there are people who are reading the Bible, researching it to find out what the Bible is hiding. They're not interested in the truth that the Bible is telling them. They're interested in what the Bible is hiding, how to find fault to criticize the Bible. And they were made blind. I will give you a very good example. One of the Bible students came to me one day and he asked me, "Do you know what it takes to build a tower, skyscraper? How come that in the time of Noah, that these people who can build only with mud, they don't even have iron, that they can try to build a house that will reach heaven? What a cook and boo." I looked at him and I said, "Ask God for the Holy Spirit." The Bible, the person telling you this story, is not interested. The Tower of Babel, underline it. The authority, the Holy Spirit telling that story, is not interested whether these people are capable of building that thing or not. No. The major thing he's trying to say is not whether these people are capable of building, whether they can succeed in building that tower or not. He is only trying to show you how determined the human beings are to disobey God. They are willing to do even more stupid things to make sure they disobey God. Whether they are capable of building that tower or not is immaterial. That's not what God, the person, the Holy Spirit is trying to show you. How determined the human beings are in disobeying God. We are asked to live on earth. We will spend billions going to Jupiter to go and find out whether there is water in Jupiter or not. Have you finished drinking the one here? And that's spiritual reading of the Bible gives you the insight. This is one example. If you will allow me to give you more other examples, we can go home by four. But that's okay. The kingdom of heaven. We are all caught in the net. Don't let yourself be thrown out. I plead with you. And I will continue to pray with you. I will not go to heaven because I'm a priest. No. No, 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 no. I can only go to heaven because I believe in the word of God and I follow the instruction of God to the best of my ability through prayer and forgiveness. If every priest will go to heaven because he's a priest, what are safeguarding officers doing here? What are they safeguarding? But by the grace of God, we will make it. Amen? Because we are all here to make it. And Satan is a liar. The things I used to do, I do them what? No more. I think I will write this song and I send it to you. And I will charge Chris to teach you that. Because it was my catechism song. May the Lord bless you. And may his spirit keep you. And may he support all your struggle. If anybody tells you that living in this world is easy, that person is lying. We all know that it's not easy. Even the authorities that are supposed to support us are rising against us. But the only authority that is supporting us and will not disappoint us is the Holy Spirit. And we hold him fast till we meet God again. In Jesus' name.